الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Questions about the Quran answered by the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah. Dua of Attar's successor. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the 23-page booklet, Questions about the Quran answered by the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, illuminate their heart with the Quran's light and forgive them without accountability. Ameen bi jahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Whosoever recited salat upon me 3 times in the day and night out of love for me, it is a right upon Allah to forgive his sins of that day and night. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Question. Many books have been written about Islam. After the Quran, What was the first book to be written about Islam and who wrote it? Answer. The Proof of Islam. Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in Ihya al-Ulum that the first book to be written in Islam was by Abdul Malik bin Abdul Aziz bin Juraij rahmatullahi alayhi. It contains sayings of the companions Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, as well as exegesis of the Quran reported from Atta Mujahid and other students of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. This was compiled in Makkah al-Mukarrama. Question. Paper was not available in earlier times, so what was used to write things down upon? Answer. Various things were used for writing. For example, the Quran would be written upon leather, camel bones and tree bark. It was then later gathered in one place from these. When the third caliph of Islam, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, was martyred, a Quran which was written upon leather was present in front of him, which he was reciting. The drops of his blood fell upon this verse of the Holy Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. Soon Allah will suffice for you against them, and only He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. This copy of the Quran with the signs of His blood is still present today. In any case, writing is an ancient practice. Printing presses did not exist previously, which is why books were not published. In order to prepare copies of the Quran, it would have to be written out many times. It is apparent that all of this was due to a passion for knowledge, as they would write it down and memorize it too. Nowadays, beautiful and exquisite books of varying colors are being published. But it is unfortunate that passion is dwindling. In particular, enthusiasm for reading religious literature has decreased significantly. Question. If a person works in a bookshop which sells worldly books as well as the Quran, sections of the latter and books regarding Quranic recitation, is it necessary for him to remain in wuzu at all times? Is there a way in which one can utilize a clean cloth instead? If so, please mention this. Answer. It is a sin to touch the Quran without being in the state of wuzu. It is better and recommended to touch Islamic books whilst in the state of wuzu, and frowned upon to touch them without. If you need to touch the Quran without being in the state of wuzu, you should keep a cloth or shawl nearby. When the need arises, you can pick up and place down the Quran using the said cloth. When doing this, you must ensure that no part of the hand or finger touches the Quran. It is not permissible to use gloves when picking it up, as gloves are considered an extension of the body. Question: if the Quran accidentally falls and one does not have wudu, can they pick it up anyway? Answer: if you have a handkerchief or cloth at hand, then you should use that to pick it up and place it back. Another way of doing this would be to get a child to pick it up, as a child's wuzu does not break. A mufti sitting near the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah mentioned, if it is a situation that involves disrespect, such as Mu'adh Allah seeing the Quran in a gutter, then jurists have given permission in this case to pick it up without wuzu. Question: can commentaries of the Quran be touched without wuzu? Answer: yes, commentary of the Holy Quran can be touched without wuzu. However, wherever a Quranic verse or its translation is written, one cannot touch that place nor the area directly behind it or the rear side of the paper. At this point, a mufti taking part in the Madani Muzakara mentioned, there are two types of Quranic commentary. One is that which is separate and referred to as tafsir, such as Tafsir Jalalain, as it can be purchased as a separate book. This can be handled without wudu. The other type of Quranic commentary is that which resembles and is also called the Quran, such as Tafsir Jalalain, published in Beirut, Tafsir Khazain al Irfan, and Tafsir Nurul Irfan, etc. These commentaries appear to be the Quran itself. These cannot be touched without wudu. On another occasion, the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah said, Tafsir Na'imi and Tafsir Siratul Jinan are distinct Quranic commentaries. Although it is not good to touch them without wudu and recommended to touch them with wudu, if someone did handle them without wudu, there is no sin. When touching them or any other religious book without wudu, one must be careful not to touch a Quranic verse or its translation, be it the verse itself or the area directly behind the verse. Question: if one section of a bookcase contains a Quran, can other Islamic books be placed in the section above this? Is this considered disrespectful? Answer: do not place any books or anything else above them. Some people place Islamic books in a bookcase and then place other things above them. This should not be done. Question: will it be considered bad etiquette to climb the roof of a room which contains the Quran? Answer: no, there is no disrespect in this. Otherwise, life would become difficult. When we offer salah on the first floor of a masjid, there are copies of the Quran on the floor below. Likewise, within buildings and apartments, there is perhaps no house which does not contain the Quran, so there is no solution in this regard. Question: when traveling on a train, aeroplane, ship, etc., where should we place the Quran? Answer: put it in a place of respect. Ask yourself and see if you find it fitting for the Quran to be placed in a bag upon which people will step or sit on. Keep the Holy Quran in a separate bag and somewhere that will not entail its being disrespected, or keep it on your person. If it is wrapped in a cover, then there is no harm in keeping it in your hand, even if you do not have wudu. Question: if the Quran was given to somebody as a gift, but they did not perform the prostrations present in it, will this gift be valid? Answer: we will be rewarded for gifting a copy of the Quran to somebody. when it becomes necessary upon a person to perform prostration in accordance with the rulings pertaining to reciting or listening to a verse of prostration, he must then perform it. If the person who is given a copy of the Quran does not carry out prostration after reciting or listening to a verse of prostration, this is his personal matter. If he does not prostrate, despite it becoming necessary upon him, he will be sinful. Additionally, it is also possible the person who was gifted a copy of the Quran does not know how to recite it. In any case, there is no harm in gifting a copy of the Quran to such a person too. Question: what is the sin for someone who says a false statement three times but takes oath upon the Quran as he does so? Answer: taking an oath by the Quran is considered an oath. Simply picking it up or placing one's hand on it and saying something is not considered an oath. However, it is mentioned on page 574 of Fatawa Razaviyah's 13th volume. Taking an oath by the Quran over a false statement is a severe and major sin. There is no harm in taking an oath by the Quran in a truthful matter. If there is a need, one may do so. But this makes the oath very serious. One should not make it an unnecessary habit. Question: if a page of the Quran detaches and falls to the ground, can it be quickly picked up without wuzu? Answer: if one does not have wuzu, nor is there a young child nearby who can pick it up, nor is a cloth at hand which can be used to aid in picking it up, whilst the situation is such that it will only be picked up if one does so himself and there is no other way around it, in such a case, one must pick it up, even if he does not have wuzu. It must also be placed in a place of respect, as displaying respect towards the Quran is obligatory. Question: there are many copies of the Quran buried in our village. Nobody had seen them previously, but the soil has now moved from above them, causing them to become visible. What should be done in this case? Answer: these copies of the Quran must have reached the stage that they can no longer be used for recitation. Buried sacred literature is normally of this kind. If they are like this, they should be removed from there and buried in a place where people do not tread. They may also be placed in a sack, and then this should be placed in the middle of the ocean after a cut is made in it or after something weighty is attached to it. After coming to know that they are copies of the Quran, it will not be permissible to leave them in their current place, whereupon people may tread upon them. Na'udhu billah. When many copies of the Quran gather in masjids, then perhaps people bury them like this too. If they are still readable and someone has put them in the masjid, it will not be permitted to bury them. People tend to bring new copies of the Quran and place them in the masjid during Ramadan. But this does not mean those previously there should be buried or placed in the ocean, as they are still readable. Question: if there is nobody who recites the Quran in a particular masjid and copies of it are already present there, can we place more there? Answer: copies of the Holy Quran should not be put in such a masjid or place in which nobody reads from them. There is no benefit in placing the Quran where no one is present to recite it. When the Quran is already available in masjids, there is no purpose behind keeping even more copies therein. Also, who shall read all of them? It has now become a custom to immediately place a copy of the Quran in the masjid upon the death of a person as a form of transmitting reward to the deceased. Not only does this take up space in the masjid, but it is also not even utilized properly. Nor do people possess such passion for reciting the Quran that 100 recitations take place daily. Perhaps the Quran is recited during gatherings of transmitting reward to the deceased, as is customary after 3, 10 and 40 days, or when a new shop is opened. Likewise, there are other specific occasions on which recitation of the Quran takes place, and this is a good thing. Question: if copies of the Holy Quran are to be placed in the masjid, please mention precautionary measures that should be taken. Answer: if you wish to place copies of the Quran in the masjid, you should consult with the Imam first. He is present for all 5 daily salah and is aware of whether people recite the Quran there or not. It would be wise to consult first. Otherwise, it will just be a case of making up 100 copies if 99 were already there. Not many people are seen reciting the Quran outside of Ramadan. Some reciters are usually seen in masjids which are busy, but they still do not equal the number of copies of the Quran that are found there. There are many Qurans, but only a handful of reciters. I observed countless copies of the Quran in the masjids of Ahmedabad, India, to such an extent that entire boxes were filled with them. They have bound copies of the 30 parts of the Quran upon which it is written, as a reward for so and so, as a reward on behalf of so and so brother. The poor masjid management also has no choice, for how can they prevent those who come to give them? If they tried stopping them, they would begin to argue. This is why people just leave them there. I do contemplate on how masjid management could store so many Qurans. It is possible people take them home when they need them and then return them. In any case, one set would be sufficient for this. Yet I have seen countless sets that are placed there as a form of reward for the deceased. Question: if there are many copies of the Quran in a masjid, but not many reciters, what should be done with them? Answer: a mufti sitting near the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah said, if there are Qurans in a particular masjid to a number beyond its requirements, they can be taken to another masjid. The Amir of Ahlus Sunnah mentioned, it is better to place copies of the Qur'an in madrasas as opposed to masjids. Teachers there should be asked about this and given Qur'ans, after which they should pass them to children who are reciting or memorizing it, or to those who have a need for them. In this manner, children will recite them, and he who gave the Qur'ans will be rewarded. They may otherwise remain in the masjid untouched. People should not be under the impression that the Quran should not be placed in the masjid at all. This is not the case. Putting the Quran in masjids for those who recite it is a means of reward. Question: there are sometimes copies of the Quran laying in masjids which are not recited by anybody. Can we give them to somebody to recite in their home? Answer: it is not appropriate to use the word laying for the Quran, as respect is not present in this. One should say the Quran is situated or placed there. In any case, if the Quran was given specifically for the masjid, it cannot be taken away to be recited in one's home. Question: can perfume be applied to the Quran? Answer: if it is one's personal copy of the Quran, then with the intention of honoring it, one may rub perfume which does not cause stains to the hands and apply this to it. If it belongs to another person, it should not be applied, as it is possible that they may be allergic to the perfume you use. It is also possible it leaves marks. Perfume should also not be applied to copies of the Quran that are placed in the masjid. Question. It is often seen that peacock feathers are placed inside the Quran for beautification. Please give guidance on how it is to do this. Answer. There is no harm in placing a peacock feather inside the Quran, as this does not entail any disrespect. During our childhood, we would also place small peacock feathers in our copies, intending to decorate them. However, it would be another matter altogether if one was to place an entire bundle of them inside. Question. Some children write their names in empty spaces found within the Quran, and they also draw flowers and the like. How is it to do this? Answer. If it is a personal copy of the Quran, there is no harm in writing one's name or drawing beautiful flowers and the like in an empty place, as long as doing this does not affect the beauty of the copy. However, if they are copies that have been endowed to a madrasa, one cannot write a name, draw lines, fold their pages, draw flowers in them, or do anything that damages them. Question. If Quranic verses are written on a piece of crockery, can we eat from it? Answer. No, it cannot be used for eating. After having performed wuzu, one may fill it with water and drink from it. In the case of not having wuzu, you cannot touch the Quranic verses. Question. Throughout the Quran, there are places where the letter Ayn is written, signifying the completion of a ruku. What does this mean? Answer. You may be surprised to hear that this is an indication, and it refers to the third caliph of Islam, Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu. From this perspective, there is no copy of the Quran that does not contain his mention. Question. Will deleting messages that contain Quranic verses from one's mobile come under the ruling of the hadith which mentions how near the day of judgment people shall erase the Quran? Answer. I have not come across a hadith which mentions the erasing of the Quran. It is narrated that the Quran will be lifted, i.e. removed from the hearts. A mufti sitting near the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah mentioned, the companion Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu narrates that when the day of judgment approaches, the Quran will be removed from the hearts. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu mentions, indeed this Quran which is present in front of you will soon be lifted. A person remarked, how is this possible whilst we have preserved it in our hearts and on pages, and we teach it to our children, and our children teach it to their children? He radiyallahu anhu replied, it will vanish in a single night, and the people will not find it in the morning. And this will occur by the Quran being removed from the hearts and pages. Furthermore, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu also mentioned, recite the Quran abundantly before it is lifted, for the day of judgment will not be established until the Quran is lifted. When only 40 years remain for the establishment of judgment day, a fragrant cool wind will blow beneath the underarms of people. The effect of this will be that the souls of the Muslims will be taken and only disbelievers will remain. And then the day of judgment will be established upon them. The Amir of Ahlus Sunnah said, this means that no memorizer of the Quran will remain. It is not referring to deleting it from one's phone. Amulets are also made by writing down Quranic verses. These are then placed in water, where they disintegrate and the verses no longer remain. Yet this cannot be referred to as a sign of Judgment Day. Rather, it is permissible to drink this water, and it is a means of cure. So there is no harm in deleting Quranic verses from your mobile. Question: if a person memorizes the Quran, how long must he remember it for? Answer: he must remember it until he dies and should not forget it intentionally. If his memory happens to diminish by itself, then this is a separate matter. For example, when a person loses their memory during the final moments as they approach death or due to an accident, they neither recognize their parents nor their own children. May Allah protect us from this state. He who memorizes the Quran should continue reciting it throughout his life and should aim to recite at least one part every day. Insha'Allah, by revising it in this manner, a person will keep it memorized. Question: Quranic verses are sometimes memorized in preparation for school and college exams, which are a part of Islamic exam papers, or they are memorized for some other purpose. Is the ruling in these cases the same? Meaning, when a verse is memorized once, it must be remembered and cannot be forgotten. Answer: once a verse has been memorized, it must be kept in mind. Preachers and orators also memorize some Quranic verses for the purpose of delivering speeches, as they generally recite Quranic verses by heart, even though we encourage our own muballighs to deliver speeches by looking. However, many orators do not do this, so they must be careful to remember those verses that they memorize once. A mufti sitting next to the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah added, "This ruling is unrestricted and applies to everyone, irrespective of whether they have memorized the entire Quran or not. This is written in Al-Zawajir in relation to every letter and verse." Question: some people do not know how to recite the Quran properly, yet they teach it and even take money for this. How is it for them to do this? Answer: this is impermissible. The one who does this will be sinful. The reviver of Islam, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi, mentions, "It is an individual obligation for one to know enough tajweed to pronounce the letters properly and to avoid incorrect recitation." It is mentioned in Bazzaziyah and other works, "Al-lahnu haramun bila khilafin." Lahan is forbidden without any disagreement. For example, exchanging one letter for another, such as reciting Alhamdu as Alhamdu, making a mistake in relation to the declension, such as reciting the meme of Damu with a Fatha and the Ba of Rabbah with a Dhamma in Asa Adamu Rabbah. Question: if those who go to houses in order to teach the Quran are given food by the people there without asking for it, can they eat it? Answer: if they feed him of their own accord without him asking for it, he may eat, and they will be rewarded for this too. One should not ask for it even indirectly, such as by saying, "I am very hungry. I didn't get the chance to eat today. The gas ran out. I was unable to cook today. I will go to the takeaway after this, or I will have to eat at the restaurant today." These are all forms of asking, because when they hear these words, they will say, "No, we will give you something to eat. We will bring food now." It is inappropriate to do this. Question: if a person does not know the method of salah and they offer it in congregation, will their salah be valid? Answer: It is necessary for the one who does not know how to recite the Quran properly to offer salah behind a qari who fulfills the conditions of leading the prayer, and it is obligatory upon him to strive to learn and memorize enough Quran that is obligatory to recite in prayer. Additionally, it is necessary upon him to learn and memorize enough Quran that is ordained to be recited in salah. Likewise, it is liked to learn and memorize enough Quran that is recommended to be recited in salah. The meaning of offering prayer behind a qari is to offer salah behind such an individual who knows how to recite the Quran correctly. It does not mean offering prayer behind those who recite in a powerful, beautiful voice, all while placing their hands on their ears. People often only consider such individuals to be qaris, but it is not necessary that every individual from among them is actually one. In fact, there are some of them who make mistakes when it comes to proper articulation of the letters. However, if there is such a person who recites in a beautiful manner and is truly a qari, salah can be offered behind him. Remember, the true qari is the one who knows enough proper recitation of the Quran that allows salah to be offered correctly. In any case, the one who does not know how to recite properly should offer prayer behind a qari who fulfills the relevant conditions of leading salah, and he should continue learning alongside this too. He should also learn and memorize at-tahiyyat, as it is necessary to recite this in salah. Question: if we need to attend to some work whilst we are listening to the Quran on our mobile phone or computer, can we stop the recitation, do our work, and then resume listening to it again? Is it a sin to do this? Answer: there is no harm in this. I have never observed anybody being cautious in the matter of stopping a recorded recitation. When they wish to stop it, they usually do so without any hesitation. They do this even if a verse has only been partially recited, causing the meaning to be changed. Likewise, they do the same when it comes to naat. Nobody has the mindset of being patient for a short while and stopping it once the Quranic verse or couplet has been completed. One can usually determine when the verse has come to an end because the reciter pauses once it is completed. It should be stopped at this point or during another pause. In addition, naat is usually recited in Urdu, so one knows when a couplet has come to an end. It should be stopped once the couplet has been completed. In a similar manner, when listening to naat on Madani channel, you should wait a short while and switch off the channel once the couplet has finished. Sometimes, once a line of poetry has been completed, the meaning is also completed. In such a case, if you switch it off after the line has come to an end, then the meaning will not become distorted. For example, Noor wala aya hai, Noor lekar aya hai, is a line of poetry. And if one was to stop this straight after Noor wala aya hai, it would be fine. In fact, even if one stopped it after just Noor wala was recited, there would be no harm either. However, it will not be the case for every couplet that one can switch it off after half a line has been recited. Anyone who understands even a small amount of Urdu will be able to gauge when it should be stopped. Remember, when one attains the mindset of love, devotion, and respect, he will begin to display caution by himself. Nowadays, People set Quran recitation or not as ringtones on their phones, as though they are completely in a league of their own in terms of righteousness. When somebody calls them, they answer it at once, giving no consideration to where the recitation or couplet has reached. Also, listening to the Quran or Naat is not the intended purpose here. So one should not set this as a ringtone on their phone in this manner. If one wishes to listen to recitation of the Quran or Naat, they may fill their phone with 1,000 Naat and continue listening to them. But they should not use them as ringtones like this. Instead of this, one should select a simple ringtone which contains no music, as a musical ringtone is not permissible. Mobiles usually have a wide selection of tunes that do not contain music, but people have grown accustomed to selecting tunes that contain them. They should sincerely repent from this. This mindset should not only be adopted in relation to Quranic recitation or Naat, even if an Islamic speech is playing and there is a need to stop it, such as if a Muballigh is delivering a speech on Madani channel, then one should think carefully about where to stop it. It should not be switched off at such a point in a sentence which will result in an altered meaning. Additionally, if a ruling is being explained, one should wait until it has been explained fully. If it is a lengthy ruling, it should be stopped once a sentence has been completed. Question: can we listen to the recitation of the Quran that has been saved on a memory card and transmit its reward? Answer: the meaning of Isal is to transmit and present. One can transmit the reward of any action which is rewardable, such as obligatory acts and supererogatory acts. If you listen to the recorded recitation which has been saved on a memory card, it is apparent that you will be rewarded. You can transmit the reward of this. However, listening to a live recitation of the Quran has its own reward. There is a difference between the two. Note, the questions on page 10, 11 and 12 and the first question on page 15 have been posed by the Department of Dawat-e-Islami that deals with the statements of the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, and answers were provided by the latter. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.